Let us pray. Almighty God, open up our hearts, open up our minds, help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Help us to hear what the Spirit is saying and direct and guide ourselves and our lives and this church in the ways you are calling us to go. Amen. We live in a society where we view the unknown negatively. We have lots of phrases and expressions like that convey the idea that the unknown is bad. Like it's better the enemy we know than the one we don't. And there are many ways I could go about this, but one of the more troubling ways, and in fact one of the ways that we show the unknown is bad actually appeared in the Advent lighting candle meditation, so I'll have to struggle with that one, but is oftentimes the idea of the unknown being dark, or darkness, or black. There was a time when Africa was known as the dark continent, and knowledge is often symbolized in terms of light, and the absence of knowledge is symbolized in the terms of darkness, which is what the Advent meditation was trying to get at. And that darkness and blackness is often associated with bad or evil, whether it's the good guy wearing the hat, the white hat, and the bad guy wearing the black hat. That daylight is associated with good, nighttime is associated with bad, like in the Phantom of the Opera. We often use expressions like it's darkest before the dawn. And in the United States, we've had a history of discrimination where white people were seen as better than black people, and that you were discriminated against because of the color of your skin, and oftentimes by how dark your skin was, and that the darker it was, oftentimes the worse you were treated. And that oftentimes in our minds, we associate the unknown as negative, and what we do know is positive, and it can be seen in how we talk about dark and light, and it's something that we as a society have to struggle with. The future is always unknown. But we live in a society that builds our prejudices against the future. That when you watch the news or you hear people talk, they highlight bad things, bad things, bad things, horrible things, terrible things. Things are getting worse. Things are going to pot. Like if you just looked at the news this week, there was this shooting in Nebraska. This morning, there was the, if you were looking at the news, there was a shooting in Denver of missionaries. That there was an armed car robbery in Pennsylvania. This whole fall, we've been hearing about the dangers of toys from China. That we've been hearing about the dangers of Iran's nuclear weapons program. Till this week, where maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought it might be. And then we hear about global warming and the environment and how everything's going bad and the world is going to end. And we hear about how the economy is going to go down because of the subprime woes. And then we hear about recession and immigration. We're always hearing about how things are going bad, how things are terrible, and that, you know, we need to change this, this, and this. But we seem never to change this, this, and that. I remember when I was in health class in elementary school, and we had this phys ed teacher slash health teacher. And every class was a session of doom. That he would always tell us about how he is so glad he wasn't us because our generation was going to grow up and it was going to be really, really bad, whether it was from AIDS or from the ozone layer. We don't really talk about the ozone layer anymore, but that was surely going to cause cancer on everyone and everyone was going to die from it. Now we're talking about global warming. And I'm not, now don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that the world doesn't have problems. And I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't take those problems seriously. But what I am trying to suggest is that oftentimes we look at the problems around us, the situations that are happening, and it causes us to fear. And sometimes the news plays on those fears. I don't know if any of you listen to This American Life. It's an NPR program. I think it's often on Saturdays. And they were showing last Saturday, there was this program about this fellow in Idaho who was on an ice skating rink, and this news program found out that he at one time had been in trouble because of underage sex, and they just tore his life apart by making this news about, oh, we have predators on public places preying on children, and just totally distorted it. But the news oftentimes, and the whole story was about how the news got higher and higher ratings because of ruining this one man's life. and how we oftentimes as the news and society, we love the fear, and we just prey on the fear, and we want to have the fear, and then we think about the unknown in the future, and we just get scared, and we act in fear. And with all these dire stories and with all these problems, it just causes us to shade everything we do with fear. And it's about the unknown, ultimately, that we don't know what's happening, and we look at what's happening around us, and we just start getting scared about what's going to happen. But I want to think about today, Advent, as a journey into the unknown. And you can think about it in the first journey, Jesus being born, that for all the people that were in that story, it was a journey into the unknown. That for Mary, she became pregnant, and she had this vision of an angel, and, you know, it was an unknown. No one else bore the Son of God. No one else was a virgin and had a baby, and just how hard that would have to be, not knowing what was going to happen, knowing that what is happening is not socially acceptable, and, you know, if someone said that they had a vision of an angel to me, I wouldn't say they didn't, but I wouldn't necessarily look at them the same way as I look at everyone else. And that for Joseph, the person he's betrothed to, is pregnant. And she says it was from God. And this is not something that happens every day. And then he too has visions of angels. But how often do people have visions of angels and stories, and it sounds convenient? And for him, it would be a journey into the unknown. Not too many people were the surrogate father for the Son of God. Or for John the Baptist, that many of the lectionary texts for Advent are about John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. But how do you prepare the way for the Lord when the Lord has never come in this form before? That God came to earth. God came in the form of humans. That was the first. And how do you prepare the way for that when it's never happened before? And if you read the story of John the Baptist, it doesn't really end very well for him. And even he has doubts about his mission and his purpose. He asks through his followers about Jesus, and are you really the Son of God, and did I really prepare the way for you? And that the first Advent story is a journey into the unknown, that all of them are experiencing something for the very first time that they never knew about. But Advent's not just about the first coming of Christ, as I tried to talk about last week. Advent is about the second coming of Christ, and that we too are preparing for the coming of the Lord. And for us, this too is a journey into the unknown, that for Christians everywhere, from the beginning of the followers of Jesus, what does it mean to prepare again for the coming of the Lord? It was sort of easy to follow Jesus, sort of, although if you read the Gospels, it never really panned out very well for him. But it was sort of easy to follow Jesus when Jesus was there, and Jesus could say, you do this, you don't do this, that was wrong, that was good, and gave the example and the company and follow him. But when Jesus went back up to heaven, when he ascended, it was a journey into the unknown for the followers. Jesus was here, Jesus is gone. How do we live out this great commission? How do we do that? And when we look at today's Corinthians passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it shows us that it was hard for the early Christians to try to do this journey into the unknown. What does it mean to be Christian? Especially when they start fighting with each other. And it seems like they did fight with each other in the Corinthians passage. That people were saying, well, this spiritual gift is more important than that spiritual gift, that this spiritual gift is better than that. And they were fighting with each other, and they were trying to figure out, what does it mean to be Christian? How do you follow Jesus when Jesus is no longer here? How do we prepare for Jesus' coming again? And Paul is saying, look, you shouldn't be fighting with each other. What you're bickering over is not important. And Paul had three ideas that appear over and over again in his letters. Faith, love, and hope. And that these three ideas, faith, love, and hope, he says this is what lasts, ultimately. And he would say love is more important and most important, and I wouldn't argue with Paul about that. But it's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's loving one another and our neighbor, especially when we disagree with each other. And it's hard. Look at the Episcopalian Church. Some of the dioceses out west want to split from the church, and they're fighting over what they say is the issue of homosexuality, but whether it is or it isn't, it's hard. And it's hard to love each other when we disagree. But it also, he says, hope. hope in the future. That you can see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Faith, love, and hope. And hope in the future. And that for Paul is how you prepare for the second coming. How you be a Christian before Jesus comes again. That you have faith in Jesus. You have love towards one another. And you have hope in the future. And that for us, it's hard. That we are struggling. That we as a church have many decisions that we need to make in the next several weeks, months. How are we going to go into the future? And it's unknown. We don't know at this moment how we're going to do it. And at every step of the way, it's still going to be unknown what comes around the corner. It's still going to be unknown what comes around the bend. And that we live in a society that would have you fear the unknown. That would have you be afraid of it. That the future is scary, it's bad, it's awful. And when you think about Advent, and we think about last week's text, when Jesus was saying that I'm going to come again, and I was telling you that before Jesus said I was going to come again, and that you need to be ready for me, he said things are going to be really bad. They're going to be bad. But he wasn't saying that to scare them. He called them birth pains. That this is the beginning of a new movement, the beginning of a new age. And that Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And that this is a new age. And that we as a church know that things are going to be hard. Jesus said they were going to be hard. But we can either move into the future with fear, we can move into the future with mistrust and not trusting each other, or we can move into the future with love, faith, and hope. And that if we live in a world full of fear, if we live in a world that's telling us that things are going to be badly, then if we want to make disciples of all the nations, if we want to be different, then we have to offer something different. But offer something different not only in words, not only in what we say, but in how we act. And that as we start trying to discern where is God calling us to go into the future, we can't be scared of the future. That we need to have faith in Jesus, we need to love one another even when things are tough, and we need to have hope. Hope that Jesus is coming again. Hope that what we're doing is what God is calling us to do. And I picked the Jonah passage today, and I picked the Matthew passage today for two important reasons. That it's not going to be easy to journey into the unknown, especially when there's a society that's telling us the unknown is bad. But for Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah tried to run away from God. Jonah ended up in the depths of the ocean. And probably in the writer's mind, the hardest place to be, away from God. And yet, God heard Jonah's prayers, even in the belly of a whale, even in the depths of the ocean. And that as we pray about where are we supposed to go, how are we supposed to act with faith, love, and hope, that God will hear our prayers. That if God can hear Jonah's prayers in the belly of a whale in the depth of the ocean, that God can hear our prayers here at Young GI Methodist Church. And the second, with the Great Commission, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Following Jesus is not a promise necessarily for success. Many of Jesus' earliest followers were martyred. Following Jesus is not a promise for wealth and riches, but following Jesus is a promise that Jesus will be with us till the end of the age. And that as we try to discern where are we going into the future, that we need to know that God hears our prayers, Jesus is with us, and that the best we can do in facing the unknown is act with faith, love, and hope. And that just like Mary and Jesus and Joseph, we're all in a unique situation with the first Advent, that we are living out the second Advent, that we are preparing the way for the Lord. And we need to prepare the way of the Lord with faith in Jesus, love towards one another, and hope in the future, both in word and in deed. Amen.